So if you would, turn with me in your Bible to Luke chapter 9. And I'm going to start reading in verse 57. Luke 9:57. And it came to pass that as they went in away, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home in my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the special opportunity to be here. But Father, most importantly, thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, dying on the cross for our sins. Father, I pray this evening, as we look at your word, that if there's someone in here who's been struggling with the call of God's will in their life, or someone in here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that tonight would be the night that they could have that relationship, that they could understand the true love that only Jesus can provide. Father, I pray that you continue to be with this church, for the gospel light that has been this community and this state and throughout the world, Father. I pray that you bless this church and continue to watch over it and use it as a testimony so that others can come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And Father, for myself, being here this evening, and just I just pray that I'm an encouragement, that though people come and go in life, you never know who you're going to talk to. So Father, as I speak tonight, let everything I say honor and glorify your Son. Father, I just praise you for everything that you do. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know, tonight, I like to think about, I was a fireman. And we were the kind of people where, if somebody says, that can't be done, we got it done. And I like to talk to the people in here who are like that. We like to, if somebody says, hey, you can't do this, they say, you know what, I'm going to do it. Those are the kind of people that I want to talk to specifically. And then the other people who have to take in information and analyze it a little bit, I'm talking to you as well. But you're going to see, as we read through this text tonight, as we start to break it down and we start to look at it, and we start to see the cost of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. And I look back at this and I think, you know, how many times have people missed out on opportunities, on blessings in life, because though they said, you know what, I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do, they don't follow through with it. You see, when we look through this text, and I'm going to start in verse 57. It says, And it came to pass as they went in away, when they went away, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And I thought it was kind of interesting, because I was thinking, you know, how many of us in here are like that? How many people are willing to say, you know what, God, I will do whatever you want me to do. I'll follow you. No problem. I'll give up whatever it takes to follow you. But how many people are really willing to do that? You see, Jesus Christ, he responds with it, and Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. And as I started studying there, and you read in Matthew, that you see that this man was a scribe. He was probably somebody that was pretty well off. And Jesus knew what to say to him. You know, Jesus was telling him, you know, foxes have holes and birds have a place to live, but I have nowhere to lay my head. And if you look at Jesus Christ, that was so true, because there was really no one specific place. He didn't have a home base. Jesus Christ went around. And who are we to say, you know what, God? I should stay here. I deserve to be here. I deserve a house. I deserve this. I deserve that. And Jesus Christ didn't have any of that. You know, who are we to say, you know what? I'm willing to follow you, but only under these circumstances. I was thinking about the commitment that this man said. He said, you know, I'll follow you wherever you go. And then I was thinking about what was happening. Jesus Christ was healing people. He was starting to form this following, this crowd. Great things were happening. You know, and people were kind of like, wow, this is amazing. They're following him. And he's just like, I'll follow you. I'll do whatever. And I think about the commitment of that. And I got a little illustration that doesn't come close to explaining it, but I was thinking about when we were in Springfield a while back, and we'd been on the road for several months, and we'd stacked up a ton of laundry. I mean, with six people, we can make some laundry. And I'm the laundry guy. Part of it is because when we go to laundromats, you never know what kind of people you're going to run into. But I also love it because I've had the opportunity to share the gospel with several people in the laundromat. While you're sitting there doing your laundry, you've got time to share the gospel. So we get to the laundromat. I bring my two oldest sons with me that day because they wanted to go. It was about 8:30 at night. We had gone out on visitation, and we had laundry, and I looked at it and thinking, all right, well, this laundromat's got these really big washing machines. I can do it, and I can be in and out in 2 hours tops. And we get there, and I guess Monday night in Springfield, Missouri is laundry night because it was just packed. So I start stuffing in all the little machines thinking, I'm going to get this done. I'm a guy, so I mean, we set out to do something, and we're going to do it. And I made this commitment. I said, I'm going to get this laundry done tonight. And it wasn't until I'm pulling the laundry out of the dryers and that the clothes are drying. I've got this huge stack of clothes, and I realized what I've gotten into. And I started thinking, how much is that like the commitment that we made? How many people made a commitment in their life where you said, you know what, I'm going to do something, and it's not until you start doing it that you realize what you committed to. You know, I'll be honest with you, it's not until we started deputation I realized what we committed to. I went to Bible school, and that was tough. And we go out on deputation, and it's tough. But it's the greatest reward that you ever have, seeing how Jesus Christ provides for you time and time again. You know, we're fortunate. God provided us with an RV. Our in-laws had helped us purchase an RV so that we have a place to live. Jesus didn't have a place to live. I mean, how do I really deserve that? But God provides for us what we need. And that's what's really cool as we study through here. We'll see that. But how many times have we done that? How many times have we committed to doing something? And then once we've got into what we're doing, we said, wow, I can't believe what I just got myself into. And that, I can't help but think that's this guy here. Let's move on to verse 59. And he said unto another, follow me. And this is, if you think about it, the same way he called out the 12. Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first and go and bury my father. And I stopped for that on that for a minute. I thought, hey, that sounds pretty reasonable, doesn't it? I mean, if my father's dead, it sounds pretty reasonable that Jesus would understand that, let me bury my father. And I did some more further study into that, and there are two streets that we could follow this. The first street is that the guy's father was dead already. And if that were the case, if his father was dead, then in Jewish custom, Jewish law, reading the law wasn't even as important as burying the dead. That was a very important, very sacred thing. You know, and so he's saying, hey, let me bury my father. Sounds pretty reasonable. I was thinking the fire department. You know, if somebody died in your family, I think by law we're allowed to have time off. And Jesus emphasizes the importance here. And he says, let the dead bury their dead and go and preach the kingdom of God. There's an importance to preaching the kingdom of God. There's an importance of sharing the word. The second thought here was that this man's father wasn't dead yet, but he's saying, let me wait until my father dies, get my inheritance, and then I'll follow you. And I start thinking, wow, that's an interesting thought, you know, because there's an undetermined delay there. And how much are we like that? How much do we procrastinate and say, you know what, Father, I'll follow you, but let me wait until my father dies, collect my inheritance, and then I'll follow you. You see, that was me for 2 years. That was me saying, you know what, God, let me see what's going to happen with the fire department. Let me see if I can retire from the fire department. And then when I have my pension, then I'll follow you. But that's not what God had for me. You see, because Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. And I believe when he's talking here, he's talking about the spiritually dead. Let those who are spiritually dead bury the dead. We've got an importance. We need to go preach the kingdom of God. You see, because as I was studying through Revelation, we see, we never know when the end time is coming. It could happen at any given moment. It could happen right now. So while we're still alive, while we have the ability, we need to share the gospel with other people. There are people in Jupiter, Florida that need to hear the gospel. There are people in the state of Florida. There are people in the country of Wales. There's people everywhere that need to hear the gospel. You know, and I like to say that every one of us in here are missionaries. God has called us to a foreign field, but we all have an obligation. We all have an obligation to share the gospel with everyone we come in contact with. You know, and I was looking at that and I was thinking, wow, we're so easy to do that. And I started thinking through commitment, too. The commitment that's involved with being a disciple of Jesus Christ. And I thought about the fire department. Once again, I'm thinking, you know, I make a commitment every day I go to the fire department. I go there and I'm willing to put my life on the line, to save other people's lives, to save their property, to do whatever I need to do. There's a commitment. There's a cost. Every day I go to work, I go to the fire department, I'm there for 24 hours, and unless there's a family emergency, I can't leave. So I'm there for 24 hours. Sometimes it felt like a prison sentence. And other times, prison probably would have been better because we were up all day. But I think about the commitment. I think, you know, I'm willing to lay my life on the line for other people. I'm willing to commit to this or that, but I'm not willing to give my life to Jesus Christ. And I start thinking about Jesus Christ, what he did for me. He died on the cross. He gave everything. God gave his son. He gave Jesus Christ so that I could have eternal life. And I'm not willing to follow after him. And I was reading through Matthew 6:25-34. And he talks about how God is going to provide and not to work. And how we see that in our lives. How God provides for us. How he provides for the fowls of the air. And how much more does he love us? And I started thinking, wow, who am I not to do what God asked me to do? And we'll continue on. And verse 61 says, and another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me go first and bid them farewell. Sounds pretty reasonable. Once again, I mean, it sounds like, you know what, let me just go say bye to them which are at my house. He says, let me bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And it sounds pretty reasonable. It's not unlike the second guy where it's an undetermined amount of time. This guy here is saying, well, just for a quick moment, let me go say bye, and then we'll move on. And I was thinking, you know, of Elijah and Elijah. 1 Kings 19:19-21, and I won't read it for time's sake, but if you read through there, Elijah had permitted Elisha time to go home and do this. So this guy's probably thinking, you know what, that seemed reasonable for him to give him just a moment to say goodbye to his family, so this ought to be reasonable. And Jesus responds back to him. Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. I mean, I was thinking, I looked at every response Jesus gave, and I'm thinking at first, I'm thinking, wow, this is really harsh. Jesus is expressing how serious it is, how serious of a job that we have, the seriousness we have to share the gospel with other people. We have one thing given to us, one thing to do while we're still alive, and that's to share the gospel with other people. And I've asked this question, there may be someone in here, who in here has ever plowed with an ox? I've been in a couple of churches where people actually have out west. And you know, it's interesting because I did some research on that. It says, no man having put his hand on the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. And as you're plowing, if you're plowing with an ox, which is very difficult, if you look back, you have a tendency of getting off course. And that's exactly what happens in our lives. When we look back for just 1 minute, it's all it takes to get us off course. You know, and I was thinking about the fact of looking back as well. And, you know, there have been times since we surrendered to mission that I caught myself doing just that, looking back and saying, you know what? Things were so much easier to follow. Things were so much better for me. And I was starting to stray off track. And I was losing my focus. And I had to get back on track, and I had to remember exactly what happened, exactly what was going on. See, now remember, Jesus Christ, as his ministry is going on, people didn't realize what was going on. Jesus Christ is going to his death on the cross. You know, when I say, hey, I'm willing to follow you no matter the cost, they didn't realize, they didn't know, Jesus knew, but they didn't know he was going to die on the cross. You know, so when we make that commitment, we make a commitment to say, you know what, God, I'll follow you no matter the cost. I'll follow you no matter what it takes. I'm here to challenge you. I'm here to challenge those who say, oh, I can't do that, but I'm here to challenge you. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to do whatever it takes? You see, each and every one of us in here know people that don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. I know it for a fact. Everybody in here, probably even comes to mind, probably one person that comes to their mind right now when I say that. And you guys have the ability to share the gospel with those people, more so than I can, because you have that relationship. You have your testimony in your life, which should speak of Jesus Christ. So you have that ability to share the gospel to people who need to hear it. You know, maybe somebody in here has been struggling with God calling in full-time ministry. You know, as Mary and I, as we travel to the United States on deputation, you get a different side of it. You get to see things. See, when we went to our church in Florida, it was a pretty good-sized church. We were about 300 people. And we moved to Cherry Street, and they were running about 700 people. And I'd never really been exposed to many other churches, and I thought, well, that's an average church in America. And as we started traveling throughout the United States, we started seeing churches. I was in one church. I was completely amazed. It was 1,500 people. Wow, I've never seen anything so big. A church used to run 5,000-6,000 people. Churches that used to run 600 are running 300. Churches that used to run 100 are running 25. And churches in general are just struggling to stay open. And I'm hearing all throughout the United States that times are tough. Money's difficult in the economy. And you know, I can see that and I can understand that. And I started thinking, I'm like, you know, but when we start saying God's not capable, God can't do this or God can't do that, and we start putting limits on Jesus Christ and we say, well, you know what, I know times are tough, but I really need to do this or I really need to do that. And you don't give what you should give. And I'm not just talking about money, I'm talking about it yourself. You know, when we don't give what we need to give, churches start to die. And that's exactly what happened in the country of Wales. You know, I like to preach a sermon out of Revelation 2, the church in Ephesus. And they took their focus off of their first love, Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what happened over in Wales. This was a country that was known for spiritual revival. The great revival where there are hundreds of thousands of people getting saved. And now, not that long later, not too many years, churches are closing. Wales is known as the land of closing churches. On average, a church a week will close its doors. You know, it's our desire to go over there and share the gospel and keep some of these churches open. It's our desire to go over there and plant new churches, to bring new life to a country that's dying. I had a person come up to me one time and say, Greg, why are you going to Wales? They had a chance. They had the gospel. They let it go. I don't believe God has ever shut anybody out. They need to hear the gospel. There's people over there who are still willing to accept Christ as their Savior. There's a country that's closing its doors. And we need to go over there. We need to keep it open. You know, like Jesus said here, follow me. Is there anyone in here who's willing to follow after us and go to Wales? Is there anyone willing to stay here in Jupiter, Florida and share their testimony with others? Or maybe stay here in Jupiter, Florida and support people so they can go to other parts of the world. Be it Wales, China, India. There are so many places. And as we see the world in the state that it's in, and you know, I think oftentimes we look at it and we think it's really terrible. But as we read through the Bible and you study through the Bible, we see that they dealt with the same problems. You know, maybe not the technology that we have, but the same problems existed then as they do now. And I can't help but think that every day we're not getting closer to end times. And if that's the case, if the Lord comes before we physically die and we're raptured out of here, we no longer have that opportunity to share the gospel with other people. Now, we're told throughout the Bible time and time again, we're not promised another day. And I say that because if there's someone in here who doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, tonight would be the night that you need to do that. Tonight would be the night that you need to put your trust in Jesus Christ. I know people have searched all around for some kind of happiness that they just never find in man. And you're never going to find it in man. You're never going to find it in material things. The only way you're going to find that satisfaction, that peace, that comfort, that hope, is in Jesus Christ. So today, when we come to the invitation, if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, today would be the day. I'm not guaranteed another day. For those of you in here who maybe you're struggling with the call of God in your life, maybe you felt like God has called you into full-time ministry. Maybe it was recently. Maybe it's been several years. Maybe you're sitting here and you're saying, one, I'm too young, or two, I'm too old. And I'm here to tell you, you're never too old. We've got friends that are in their 60s going to India. Never too old to surrender to mission. Never too old to get involved with what God is doing. You're never too old to say, you know what, I will follow you no matter what the cost. But I also have to challenge you, warn you. That could mean that you have to leave your comfort zone. It could mean that you have to sell your house, you have to give up your car, you have to give up your material things of this world. But I'm here to tell you that God blesses you beyond anything you could ever imagine. And I'm not talking about money and material, though God provides. I'm talking about a comfort and a peace that only following the Lord that you'll have. And I say that because I've lived it. We live it in our lives. Our lives are faith promise lived out every single day. As we travel the United States on deputation, the greatest thing that's happened in our life is we get to see how Jesus Christ provides for us time and time again. He provides everything that we need, and then some.
Our Father in heaven, thank you tonight for reminding us that we are supposed to count the cost, and that there's a cost of discipleship. But the reward is far, far greater, Lord, and the love of Christ constrains us anyway. Thank you, Father, also for reminding us that we are always on duty as your people, and that you brought a couple into this church at a time, and just a brief time, and that all of us, Father, as your people, should be diligent, should be on duty, and report for duty each and every service. I pray, God, now you'll bless the fellowship of your people. We pray for the Alberts, Father, that you'll bless them. Continue to guide and provide for them as well. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' precious name. Amen. And amen. Hey, glad you're saved. Amen. The Alberts have a great display in the back. I hope you go back there in the vestibule, get to meet them a little bit, greet our visitors. God bless you all. You are dismissed.